Well, good evening. Good to be with you here. Y'all know how to give a chilly reception up here, so no, I'm kidding. It's good to be with you all. I wasn't sure if I know anybody here. There's some familiar CASB faces here, so God bless you. God bless each of you teachers. It's exciting for, I don't know who you all are, but God bless you for coming back, and God bless you for serving all these terms. I don't know what I'll share tonight on teachers, but I'll tell you right now, some of my favorite people in this world are teachers. So God bless you. Now, I can't exactly say that was my testimony while I was going through school, but here we are tonight. So. Yeah, the topic has been laying on my heart for a while is prepared to serve. So as teachers are leaving, my goal here, I guess, is to whip up the frenzy, and I'll have some coming in the back door for you. So we'll see what we can do tonight. But again, I also know you have a busy schedule here, so I'll try not to keep you too long. But prepared to serve. God is calling all believers to a life of service, and our schools can play a vital role in helping the next generation in being prepared to serve. Now, when you think of service, I don't know what comes to your mind. And first of all, I just want to make sure I'm clear on this idea of serving the Lord and reaching out. And I'm sure you're doing that. I can talk freely here. I don't really know anything about you. So if I step on your toes or if I'm going into a little, squeamish spot for you, I had no idea. So I'll leave here and you can fight it out when I leave. But service. No, we don't serve to impress you here. And I'm not here to try and impress you tonight either, other than I want to impress upon you, service. We don't serve to seek recognition. We don't serve to say, Lord, do you know I've done this? I'm part of this board. I'm doing this. I'm doing that for you, Lord. So, Lord, you owe me a couple favors here. Ephesians 2, 8 to 10 says what? It says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. And this is what I want. Not of works, unless any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We're created unto Christ for good works. And that's a little bit what we want to talk about tonight. We willingly submit to Jesus and what he wants in my life and what he wants in your life, just as Jesus submitted to his Father in heaven. We serve Jesus in sharing the good news of salvation to those that are hurting, to those searching for answers. A lot of people are searching for answers today. Where will they find them? We serve Jesus in how we conduct our business. I don't know how many business owners are here or what you're all involved in. We serve Jesus in the way we conduct our business, in honesty, integrity, our speech, and our work ethics. This is a continued growing experience in my life, and I'm sure in each of our lives. You know, our attitude towards service for the Lord will impact our passing on the faith to the next generation. Again, God is calling all believers to a life of service, and our schools can play a vital role in helping the next generation and being prepared to serve. By way of introduction, Derwin Troyer, my wife Marla is here with me. We left our children at home. We are currently celebrating this year's 25 years. March will be 26. So we have five children. We got four boys and one dear girl. My oldest boy is 24. And our youngest, Hans, he's going to be turning 10 here Tuesday, so it's a pretty big deal. We got to get home for that, so he's pretty concerned that we do that. We do live in Lebanon County, PA, so if you get down that way, we'll put you up. We love to host. We attend a Schaeferstown Mennonite Church, which is part of the Hope Fellowship Churches. How did I come up with, or what, where did this burden come from? Well, I don't tell you all this. I kind of hesitate to tell you what we've been involved with, but maybe it'll help you understand some of the roles or privileges I had in serving. Served on the school board here. I believe I'm on my third term now. Last year, I did something. I got off the board for a few months, and I got a phone call. Can you be a principal this year? And I was like, no, I really, that was a unique opportunity. So last year I filled in, or tried to fill in the role as a principal. So, and again, I have a higher respect for principals than I ever had before in my life. So we currently have a principal that, a new teacher, high school teacher that came in. He wasn't quite ready to fill the role of principal. So, yeah, my wife and I are currently serving as a second term, a second three-year term here as a youth pastor, youth leaders. And I don't come to you tonight with all the answers. I'm just telling you some of that to, as I interacted with school children, with young people, there's this burden or this thing that has been maybe a little bit unsettling at times, is the lack of willingness to serve, or especially the hard and undesirable tasks, a lackluster in commitment. You know, you put out, hey, we're going to go do this and this for whatever, an elderly. We're going to go sing for an elderly or whatever it is. How quickly are we ready to go and do that? Or as youth, I'll just challenge how many youth are here. We'll challenge some of the youth. Is they're not all that way, but some of them, you know, well, we want to see, was there a neighboring volleyball game first, and then maybe if nothing else is going on. And again, I want to be too hard on it. I was a youth as well, but I believe the child training lies directly. I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. You know, I should get back up. Why is this happening? Why is there a lackluster in some of the struggles here? Why are schools struggling to find teachers? I didn't know you were going to make some of those announcements. But why are there VS workers? There's organizations constantly looking for VS workers. And hopefully we didn't fall into this whole thing of just me, myself, and I. I want to live my life the way I want to. We're here to serve the Lord. One of our school vision statements is to educate children in such a way that develops a strong desire to strive for excellence and to serve the Lord and the community to the best of their ability. It's our vision statement. One of our mission points is to assist parents in fulfilling their God-given responsibilities to train their children in the ways of the Lord. This includes helping them and giving them the desire to serve others. And thinking about the life of what can we do as parents? How can we help our children as they are young children, as they grow and as they mature? How can we help them and prepare them for the big world, so to speak? And I'll tell you two stories of two boys. It was one was as a chairman some years back. I got a phone call from a frustrated parent, and the teacher was being too hard on his son, wasn't teaching properly. Too much homework, not enough explanation, and I don't want to get into all of it, but you kind of get the idea, I think, of it was just, and he talked, about half an hour, 45 minutes later, yes, sir. And I think at the end, he just wanted to be heard. However, there's also a trend there. We tend to, We tend to call these type of parents helicopter parents. We don't want little Johnny to get hurt. We want to make sure we protect. And I think that's okay at a certain point. But this boy struggles. He struggles to in his relationships. He struggles with, and is struggling with learning. I struggled in school with learning as well. It's not all bad. But I question, you know, as parents, are we preparing that child for the world and for service? There's another boy that struggled in school as well. He had trouble. Some of his troubles was he had some vision therapy he had to do. And so processing took a little bit because of his eyes and some of that. And he struggled. He was a third grader, yes. And he struggled with flashcards. Is there third graders here? Anybody in third grade? Third grade? I don't know if you do flashcards. Well, they were doing flashcards. It took him, I don't know how many you can do in a minute. Want to be brave enough to share? Well, this little boy, it's all right. I don't want to put you in a spot. This little boy, he struggled. He could only get 30 flashcards a minute. I don't know if in your standards, if that was, probably could do a little better than that. Yeah, good job. I know you can. But this boy, he just 30. That was just his plateau. He could not hit 30. And his parents were concerned. Teacher was concerned. And it just seemed the boy was all that I could do, all I could do. And the parents and teachers encouraged him and pushed him to do better and set little goals. Well, the year-end goal was 60 flashcards per minute. Approximately 3 months till the term was over, after pushing and encouraging, he hit 70. After 70, I might get emotional with this, I'm sorry. He hit 80. And then a few weeks before school is over, he hit 90 flashcards a minute. And I talked to that young boy. I said, do you think, I'm not sure what it was, maybe 2 weeks of school left over. I said, do you think you can get 100? He said, that's impossible. I said, I tell you what. I said, you get 100, I'll get you a gift. 2 days before the last day of school, this little boy comes running up to me. He said, I just hit 103. And that blessed my heart. For this boy that couldn't do it, couldn't get to 30, hardly could get to 30 by the end of school. So students, set your goals higher. You can do better than what you think you can do. Push your child. Parents, push your children. Whatever it is. So by the way, as a reward, I promised him a gift. And it was my favorite fishing rod I ever bought. So he was tickled with that. But again, looking at this, and I won't be critical of the one parent or the other parent or whatever. But who do you think, as a child, is being better prepared for contributing in service? Because God is looking for people today that are not willing to give up right away when things get tough. I know as parents, we tend to want to protect and provide, and rightly so. But are we truly preparing our children if we're just keeping them from the hard? And there's a quote that I love. It was not original with me. It says, not all students will excel academically, but all students can excel in character. Students need to learn to do hard, which builds character. To do the hard, which builds character. Don't shield your student from the hard because it builds character. Say that again, not all students will excel academically, but all students can excel in character. Students need to learn to do the hard, which builds character. Don't shield your student from the hard, because it builds character. Now, I don't know what, when you think of the character traits that you want your children tonight, and maybe we can open that up for discussion a little bit. What is some of the things that, as a parent, or maybe even children, what are some of your character things that you would love to develop and grow in? Real quick, we'll put you on the spot. What are some characters that you would love to see in your children? There you go. Yeah, I appreciate that. Willingness to pitch in. Any other characters that you would like to see your children develop? Very good, I like that. Any others?
Respectful.
I have one. Responsible, right? Children with integrity. Do you want your children to be humble? Forgiving. How about a servant heart? Yeah. And I want to look at just one, and one that really jumped out is faithful, because the Bible talks about being a faithful servant. Being faithful in what you're asked to do and doing it with your whole heart. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards or servants that a man be found faithful." Now, Matthew 25:14-30, I don't think I'll read that. It talks about the parable of the talents. You know, in this parable, Jesus gave out these talents, funds, to the individuals, and you know the story. And you know, it was never about how much I gave you, God gave you. It's never about how much God gave you. It's about what you do and how faithful are you in what he has given you. And if you're faithful in what God has given you, guess what? Here's another one. That's how it works. So no excuses. Do the hard and grow. You know, the last servant, was he condemned for just having one talent? He was condemned for his lack of effort, for a lack of being faithful servant. Ecclesiastes 9:10a says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." Colossians 3:17, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." You know, we may struggle sometimes knowing what God's calling is, or what does God want me to do? And I'm sure teachers, there's always that, do I teach another year? We're going through it as well at our school. And that's okay. But I think we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit leading in our lives. And then again, being faithful in what he's calling you to do right now. God will open up doors. You know, if you're called to be a school board member, I'll pick on the school board first. Embrace the work. Do your best. Be the best board member you can possibly be. Now, that might, you say, "Well, I'm inexperienced. I've never done this before." That's okay. But you know, there's ways you can ask, there's ways you can do. We talked about CASB. Go invest in CASB. Take the time for that. That's been a tremendous growth for me as well in our school. Be willing to learn. You know, if you're a farmer, I don't know if there's farmers here or not, but if you're a farmer, be the very best farmer you can for the Lord. Grow them crops the best way you can. Go to the feed mill and spread the good news. Encourage whatever. If you're a contractor, be the very best contractor for the Lord. Go above and beyond. Your word is the truth. Good old handshakes should be the norm for you. And I get it. I'm an electrical contractor. I know some of these contracts, you better have it in writing. But Be the best contractor you can. If you're a mom, you say, well, I'm just a mom. I'm just a homemaker. All I do is wash dishes and change Pampers. Well, change Pampers to the best of your ability. I don't know what to tell you. Or wash dishes to the best of your ability. Encourage your children. You know, I don't really have it in my nose, but you know, that's, I cringe sometimes when little Johnny comes home from school and he has a story about whatever. You know, mothers, you can really direct that child one way or another in the life of the school. Encourage them. And if there is a story that comes home from school that seems a little, well, what's the teacher actually saying? Or, wow, that seems a little weird. And you know what? The teacher, the students go to school and tell teachers some funny stories too. So I always tell our teachers, I said, you know, when you hear the stories about families at home, every family does something a little different. Some things are neither here or there, but they're just different. And we encourage our teachers not to say, well, that's stupid. That's really weird. Your parents are really weird. Best way to answer that is just say, well, that's interesting. So all right. You know, if you're a teacher, be the best teacher for the Lord. Teach with love and compassion. Be enthusiastic about teaching. Do your best. And if you're a student, be the best student for the Lord. All right? Be cheerful. Have a willing attitude towards learning. It'll all make all the difference in the world. You know, many of us, you heard this saying, more is caught than taught. That's what I'm trying to say. More is caught than taught. And again, as parents, our attitude towards service and servanthood, our children is watching. Our children are watching us. When the phone call comes in, hey, there's this project over here, whatever it is. And I'm human too. Especially when it's cold outside, you know. It's that neighbor again, or whatever it is. Our children catch our attitudes. Parents, school board members, teachers, and school church leaders are often called to step outside their comfort zone to fulfill the calling of servanthood. And that can be a tough one for me. I don't know if I'm an introvert or extrovert. Just depends what mood I'm in, I guess. But step out of your comfort zone. Step out a little bit, and after a while, the comfort zone expands a little bit more. It expands a little bit more. It's just how it works. Reaching out and serving others. How do we do that in public life? I don't know if you ever have blessed a stranger. Do you ever bless a stranger? If you haven't, try it. And again, I don't want to talk on the stories of myself, but that's kind of the stories I know. It's just one day I was at Dollar General. I was actually in a hurry. It was time to get home. I was probably late for work or late for supper. And there's this old lady in front of me, and this whole thing of, I was challenged some time back about stepping out of my comfort zone and reaching out to people. I thought, well, someday I'll, you know, do something, give a gift to, or maybe do a little payment or whatever. And this old lady was, dear old lady, was at the cashier fumbling to pay and everything. And I was like, is this the person I'm supposed to help? And so you kind of get out of your comfort zone, and hey, I just said, can I bless you tonight? And I said, you know, just pay for it, just a couple dollars. And I was highly embarrassed after that, because this lady kind of just exploded. This was just unbelievable. And she started crying right in Dollar General. I was like, oh, like, it's okay, you know, and you don't want, yeah. You ain't gonna believe. No, you don't understand, sir. You don't understand. I'm a believer. Well, she wasn't dressed like a Mennonite. Oh, I had no clue. But you don't believe it. I'm 80 some years old, and this never ever happened to me in my entire life. You don't understand. But I'm a believer. wait till I tell my husband out in the car. And I was like, I just want to pay and leave, you know. But you know, you can bless people that way that you have no clue. I had no idea. But you know, it blessed that person. And you know, thought about that. She's 80 some years old, and this was something so foreign to her that a $10 bill or whatever it was that paid for her little things there. She never felt that love. So, you know, little things that you do. A lot of times we like to do the big things. Like, hey, we have this big problem. Oh, man, count me in. This is going to be all great. You know, what about the little thing? Nobody ever has to know about it. I never really told that story too much. I guess I have tonight here. Students, be willing to be stretched. Get out of your, again, back to your comfort zone. Book reports. Who likes book reports? Bible memory. I don't know if you do student devotions or not. Enjoy them the best you can. Because someday, some of you boys might be up here giving a talk as well. Just might happen. That's how it goes. Hopefully it does. Hopefully you do. All right. What is the number one thing that can hinder or distract us from a service? What do you think the number one thing is that can distract us and hinder us from service, serving others? That's right. I was going to say it's in every mirror. So if you go look in a mirror, that's exactly the problem right there. It's in my mirror as well. You know, it's my time. It's my money. It's my job. It's my toy. It's my right. I have the right to do this. Fill in the blank. You know, how am I spending my hard-earned money? How am I spending my time? And you know, the fastest way to get in trouble is to tell you how to spend your money and how to raise your children. I've done both things tonight, so I'll try. I won't get too deep into that. What is important to us, the funds will follow. And I don't know how you are with your I don't even want to know how your finances are here with your school. And it takes money to run a school. It takes money to run our school too. And we often are struggling to make ends meet, but you know what? It usually comes together. But you know what's important to you? Your funds will follow. It just is. And there's a question that often gets raised at CASB, which is, does God have enough money to run his schools? I'll let you think on that for a bit. How do we view school tuition? I don't know if you do tuition or you do fundraisers or how you do that. Do your children hear you complain about the man, they're raising tuition again? Well, I would encourage you to think of tuition as an investment, not an expense. We're investing. We all like investments. You invest in your school, your students, and the returns will be out of this world. Another, I should say, killer, I call it a killer, that I believe on when it comes to serving, another killer is this thing right here. Your cell phone, I see it in youth and in some of our youth today. Cell phone use and social media. And this is where everybody gets a little, you know what? This one hurts me too. So I can talk about it because, again, this here is, yeah. I don't have all the answers to this pandemic. We went through a pandemic not too long ago, and this is a real-life pandemic. I believe cell phone addictions, I'll call them what they are. Social media is suffocating many youth's ability to properly know how to communicate face to face. You know, we want to reach out and serve other people, but if we can't communicate properly, it's kind of a problem. There's too many times in our youth groups, I know I'm there, and you know what, I gave you a reason why. I said I have boys that are in the youth group too. But so many times it's you know, we want to get together and do something together as a group or whatever it is, and there's cell phone here, cell phone there, and I encourage you, have a cell phone fast. Or we've done that already. We went together, hey, cell phone's in the box. Believe it or not, they all lived and they left and they survived. It was okay. How young is too young for children to have cell phones? Well, I'll let you decide that, but there is a country that is banning cell phone or banning social media use under the age of 13. So there's a country out there that has a 13-year-old ban on social media. Cell phone use and addictions can steal in God's time. That's what it really comes down to. Time that we will all give an account of someday. I want to look at Matthew 25. Matthew 25:31. At the end of time, God's going to reward his faithful servants. Let me see here. And this is a familiar passage again. Matthew 25, it says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit on the throne in his glory, and before him he shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He set the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hunger and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we sick and in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on his left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer, saying, Lord, when saw we thee in hunger, or thirst, or in prison, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye did it not unto the one of the least of these, ye did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." This is kind of maybe the heart of what I'm getting after. What really challenged me as I read this, and it's so familiar to me, but it really struck me again how the righteous, Jesus is commending them and says, welcome. You've done all these things. You've reached out. You were my hands and my feet. You reached out to the hurting, to the lost, to the naked. And these people are like, Lord, we did what? We did? And Lord said, yeah, you did it unto the least. You did it unto me. And he said, well, we didn't know. We were just living our lives. And that's where I really want us to, for myself, even grow into where this thing of service, and I started out, it's not about me and saying, God, look what I have done. And I believe that's what the second group of people have done. You're like, well, we did all these things, Lord. It was more of a maybe a self-righteous answer, like, well, what are you talking about? you don't know what you're talking about, Lord. What are you talking about? When do we do all this? But the first, they just had this lifestyle of service to the point where it was just part of them. They were just serving the Lord. And that's where I hope we can all get to that part where it's just who we are as people. It's just who we are. And that's really my challenge, is as we raise these children, as we use the school is an excellent place to develop these characters and traits and desire and a passion to serve God. Closing, I want to read Revelation 22. Revelation 22, 3 and 4, it says, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And behold, I come quickly with my reward. I will give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, for they shall have the right to the tree of life and may enter into the gates in the city." What is the reward if you're a faithful servant? We're going to keep serving in serving the Lord. We get to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I don't know what that does for you. That just thrills my heart. Again, we are called to a life of service. We're blessed to have this Christian day school. We're blessed to have a school that can teach our children we're blessed to have our own Christian schools where it can be a vital role in helping the next generation and being prepared to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords here today and also in eternity. Thank you. God bless you as you continue serving him. And I did want to also say here, thank you for your prayers in my behalf. I know you changed your schedule when Father passed away, and thank you for your prayers. I felt it. I didn't know you real well, but I appreciate the text messages and the calls. Dad struggled with cancer for quite a few years, and it was pretty hard at the end, but again, God bless you for as you serve, because I felt that connection here. I didn't know you, but I appreciate it. So, God bless you.